It seems like I was just here, and if that's the case, then that's right. Sort of strange turn of events. I think probably maybe Bob mentioned it during class, but Kevin was on to speak this morning, and Kevin's mother passed away. And so Kevin asked Dwayne to fill in for him. They were going to trade weeks, and Dwayne called yesterday, and Dwayne is not well, so he asked if I had something put together, and I did. So I'm the backup plan to the backup plan, I guess. So maybe third time's a charm or something. Recently, I asked the middle school class on Sunday morning what questions they had about the Bible or what questions their friends asked them. And those are the topics that we would spend our Wednesday evening studying. And the first question that came up was, did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? And so last Wednesday, we spent the study looking at that question and just delving in on what kind of information the Bible tells us about Jesus' siblings. And so this morning, we're going to walk through that same study. And so for Christian, Carly, Kinsey, and Savannah, you heard this Wednesday night, but it's not all that bad. There's some additional information, too. So let's just start by asking that first question. Did Jesus have any siblings? And the answer is yes, Jesus did have some siblings. So if you'd like to follow along, we're going to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We could also look at Mark chapter 6, because in both places it records basically the same thing. But Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 53, this is what it has to say. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? When then did this man get all these things?" So here we have the answer to the question. Did Jesus have any siblings? And the answer is yes. Jesus had at least six siblings. And the reason we know that is he had four brothers who were listed. James, Joseph, who is sometimes translated Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And then verse 56 says, and his sisters. So we know he at least had two sisters. Now what order those children are in, we don't know. But we know that he had at least six siblings. Now, if you were to ask this same question of our friends in the world, you might find a little bit of a different answer, because not everyone agrees that Jesus had siblings. Some people will argue that these are not Jesus' brothers and sisters, but that these are Jesus' cousins. And this is really used as an argument because some will argue that Mary was a perpetual virgin, meaning that Mary and Joseph never had relations and then therefore would never have any children. And I'm not really sure why that teaching comes about, but I do know that that teaching is incorrect. The Bible clearly indicates that Mary did not remain a virgin. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Two things in that passage that make us know that Mary was not a perpetual virgin was, first, that the indication is that Joseph did not know his wife, in the sense of sexual relations, until after Jesus was born. And then it calls Jesus Mary's firstborn son. Now we get the same idea, this firstborn son, from Luke chapter 2 and 7. Certainly an only son could be a firstborn son as well. But when you look at the context, it just makes sense that Mary was not a perpetual virgin, that Mary had other children. So it doesn't make sense that this would mean that these are not Mary's children. But sometimes when we read in the Bible, words are translated into a specific when they really are a general term. And let me give you an example. Sometimes the word is translated son when it really just means descendant or offspring. We see that sometimes with man. Sometimes the word is translated man, but it really just means people. And so some will argue, well, when it says here that these are his brothers and sisters, what it really means is his siblings. But that's not true either. The word that's translated both in Matthew and in Mark is specific to brothers, not generic for family members. The word for brothers, Adolphos, is always translated as brother or brethren in the Bible. And then Adolphi, which is translated as sister, is always translated as sister in the Bible. So we can take the Bible for what it says. When it says Jesus had four brothers and at least two sisters, we can take it for that. Now, we know that these were his brothers and sisters. Now, others will not argue that they're his cousins. They'll say, oh, well, these are his stepbrothers from a previous marriage between Joseph and another woman who is now deceased. But the fact of the matter is there's no biblical support for this. Where were these children when Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, when they went to Egypt, when they came back and went to Nazareth? There's no recording of this. So I don't know that we should even give that any credence. We should look at the Bible for what it says. It says that these are his brothers. The earliest commentary on this topic of Jesus' siblings comes from a man named Tertullian, who wrote, he lived between 155 and 240 AD. So, you know, he's 150, 200 years after Jesus has died. And so take that for what it's worth. It is quite a while after Jesus died, but it is the earliest commentary on it. And in his writing, he describes these individuals as being the children of both Joseph and Mary. A long way around just to say that these people that we're going to talk about, James, Judas, Simon, Joseph, and these sisters, these are Jesus' brothers and sisters. Now, literally, they're his half-brothers and sisters because they would be the children of Mary and Joseph, and Jesus would be the son of Mary and God, but not of Joseph. But so we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. So I guess the next logical question is, Did his brothers and sisters believe that he was the Son of God? That's a curious question, right? Well, let's think about what we know of Jesus' brothers and sisters. The first thing that we know is that Jesus' brothers probably witnessed his first miracle. So let's go to John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, the first 11 verses there talk about the first miracle of Jesus, when Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, in that story, we don't have any indication that his brothers are there, except for when we get to verse 12. And in verse 12, this is what it says. And after this, he went down from Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So the first 11 verses don't tell us that Jesus' brothers are with him, but the 12th verse does say that. So it seems to me that Jesus' brothers were at this wedding. We talked about this in class. You know, when you go to a wedding, oftentimes you go with your family. It's a family event. And that's true today, and it was even more true back in Jesus' time. So it makes sense that Jesus' brothers and probably his sisters were there with him. But they saw this, or maybe they saw this, I guess we could say. Because you remember in the story, the man who drinks the wine, he doesn't realize that this was a miracle. Maybe Jesus' brothers didn't realize it was a miracle either, but they were there. And so we know that they witnessed it. Whether they recognized it or not, we don't know. Well, did Jesus' brothers and his sisters, did they follow him around? We know that when Jesus went from town to town preaching, that there was a multitude of people who followed him. And sadly, we don't have any record of Jesus' family following him around to hear him preach. In fact, we see quite the opposite to be true. We see that they are not with him when he is preaching. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is teaching, and then in verse 46, we find an exchange about his family. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mothers and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. So we get the picture here that Jesus is teaching, and here his mother and his brothers come and say, we need to talk to you, Jesus. And Jesus then replies that his followers are his brothers. So we get the indication that Jesus' family didn't follow him around. In fact, we have some indication that maybe Jesus didn't have a great relationship with his siblings. And at this point, there's some subjectivity here. But let's turn to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, we find Jesus on the cross. And with Jesus on the cross, we find that Jesus leaves the care of his mother not to his brothers, but instead to John. We find that in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his home. This is sort of a strange thing, right? How would this normally work? Well, normally, so we know from this that Jesus, his earthly father, Joseph, was dead at this point. And so Mary was the responsibility of Jesus, being the oldest son. And here at the cross, Jesus makes sure to take care of his mother and sees John and passes the care of his mother on to John. That wouldn't be normal. So normal would be that Jesus would pass it on to his next oldest brother. That's sort of how things work, that if the oldest son had died and he was caring for his mother, that then the next oldest son would be responsible for taking care of the mother. I don't know what to make of this other than maybe Jesus didn't trust his brothers. Maybe Jesus trusted in his disciple John more than he trusted in his brothers. But there may be something else here. Because when you ask the question, why John, and you start looking at the passages, there may be an explanation. And there's, again, a lot of subjectivity here. But it very well may be that John and his brother James could have been Jesus' first cousins. And when I first looked at this, I thought that doesn't make a lot of sense. But let's put the pieces together, and I'll let you make your own conclusion. I don't know if I'm convinced of it, but at least you'll hear what some will say. So thinking of this event, Jesus at the cross, think about who is there. And so if we start with Matthew, we get this recorded to us in three different places. So in Matthew chapter 27, verse 56 through, or 55 and 56, this is what we're told. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him, were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So there's Matthew records for us that there's three women there with him. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph. You think, well, who is that? Well, when we read the other passages, we'll know that that's Mary, Jesus' mother. Because Jesus had four brothers, right? They were James, Judas, Joseph, and Simon. So Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, that's probably Jesus's mother. And then the mother of Zebedee's son. So there's three women who are mentioned there. Mary Magdalene, and the mother of James and John. Now let's compare this to Mark chapter 15. In Mark chapter 15, verse 40, this is what we're told. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Simone. All right, so we have two of the same women mentioned, and maybe a third, or maybe a fourth. So we have Mary Magdalene, very clearly mentioned in John as well. Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph. Well, it's the same person that's being mentioned in John as well. And then now we find Simone. So the question becomes, is this woman Simone? Is she the mother of the sons of Zebedee? We don't see this woman named anywhere else. We never see the mother of James and John mentioned. So some people put this two together and say Zebedee was married to Simone. Well, none of this puts Jesus and John and James as first cousins until maybe we get to John chapter 19. So let's go back. We read it once, but John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So John records for us that there's four women who are there. Mary Magdalene, so all three accounts tell us Mary Magdalene. Mary, Jesus' mother, okay, so probably all three accounts give us that. And then two additional women, Mary the wife of Clopas, and then his mother's sister. So you kind of put all three of those passages together, and some will draw the conclusion that there are four women there, three Marys and Simone. And this Simone woman is Mary's sister, and she's the mother of Zebedee, or the wife of Zebedee, which would make Mary and Simone sisters, make John, James, and Jesus first cousins. I think there's a lot of supposition there, but it's interesting. It does maybe explain why Jesus gives Mary into the care of John. It does create some strange situations, though. So if the mother of Zebedee's son is Simone, and also the sister of Jesus, then that would mean James and John are Jesus' first cousins. And this would mean that Jesus would have two first cousins whose name were John, right? John the Baptist and then John the Apostle. And then he would have a brother and a first cousin named James. I guess that could happen. I mean, we do see that some in our own families where there's family names that are passed down. But we know that John was not a family name of John the Baptist's family because that's not what his father would have named him. So I don't know. So maybe John chose, maybe Jesus chose John because he trusted him more than his own brothers. Maybe it was because they were close relatives. I don't know, but it does give us a picture of Jesus' family, but we haven't answered that question of, did Jesus' brothers believe and sisters believe him? So let's just get to that. Let's go to John chapter 7 and answer that question. In John chapter 7, the first five verses read, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. For if you do these things, show yourself to the world.'" And then notice what it says there in verse 5. "For even his brothers did not believe in him." So while Jesus was here with his family, his brothers did not believe that he was the Son of God. And when you get that, then you understand what the message that his brothers are trying to give to him. The first four verses there sounds like his brothers are kind of prodding him, maybe mocking him a little bit. Well, nobody does things in secret when they seek to be known openly. Go to Judea. So they did not believe Jesus while he was here. But is that always the case? No, that wasn't always the case. They did eventually believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. This is immediately after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. This is what it says. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into an upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers." This is interesting. So while Jesus was with his family, while he was here on earth, his brothers didn't believe in him. But by the time Acts chapter 1 happens, it appears as though Jesus' brothers are with the apostles and with the other disciples. So what has changed? What is it that in that short time span, maybe a few, maybe a year, maybe, I mean, at most it's 3 years. So what is it that has changed? Well, it very well may have been that after Jesus' death, Jesus appeared to his brothers. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we read in the Gospels of Jesus' appearings, we get lots of little stories, and then in 1 Corinthians 15, it appears as though Paul kind of sums all of them up for us and then gives us some additional information. So talking about all of Jesus' appearing, then in verse 7, Paul writes and says, after that, he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles. Now, some will look at this, and well, first, let's ask the question, who is this James? Well, there are at least three James mentioned in the Bible. There's James, whose brother is John, whose father is Zebedee. There's James, the son of Alphaeus. Both of these two men were apostles. And then the third James that we have mentioned is James, the brother of Jesus. So really, this could have been any of those three. It could have been, in some ways, it sort of makes sense that it's one of the apostles because of the way it's written and the way verse 6 is written, appeared by James, then by all of the apostles. So it sort of makes sense that it's one of the apostles. But some will look at this and say, well, this is James, the brother of Jesus, that Jesus appeared to. I don't know if we know that for sure. It's one of the three of them. I think it makes better sense that it's one of the apostles, but if someone were to say that it's the brother of Jesus, then I don't know that I would have too much of an argument with that. So it's possible that this change of heart in his brothers is because Jesus appeared to them. But we just can't be certain. So let's ask one more question. What happened to his siblings? What happened to Jesus' brothers and sisters? Well, unfortunately, we don't know anything about his sisters. We don't know what happened to them. They're mentioned. We don't even know their names. We just know nothing of them. We know that at least two of his brothers were with the saints on or around the day of Pentecost, because that's what we read there in Acts chapter 1, where it said his brothers. So at least two of them were there. But we do know a few more things about his brothers. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. By the time Paul writes the letter to the church at Corinth, there's been some time that's passed, and it appears as though Jesus' brothers remained, in, at least some of them, remained in the church and were married. Because the topic of conversation here is whether or not Paul and Barnabas can take wives, which we know that Paul wasn't married. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, Paul asked the question, do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? So it appears as though what we see is that Jesus' brothers remained in the church, they were married, and I think we can even draw the conclusion that they were also preached that Jesus was the Son of God because of how this reads. Look who is mentioned. He's talking about Paul. Paul is talking about himself and Barnabas, and he's asking, well, do we not have a right to take a believing wife? As do these others, the apostles and Peter, who would have been preachers of Jesus. And then he says, and Jesus is and the brothers of Jesus. So I kind of think that we see that Jesus' brothers play somewhat of an important role in the first century church. And in fact, it very well may be that Jesus' brothers were leaders in the church. In Acts chapter 12, we find this discussion of what to do with the Gentiles. And in Acts 12, in verse 17, we find that, I'm sorry, that's Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 12 is James, John's brother, had just been killed, and Peter is in prison. Peter, when he gets out of prison, Verse 17, but motioning to them with his hands to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and had said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. So when Peter gets out of prison in Jerusalem, he tells those that he met with, go tell James and the rest of the brethren. James appears to have some important role. Well, which James is this? Well, it's not James, John's brother, because he was just killed. So it's either James, the son of Alphaeus, James, Jesus' brother, or some other James. I think this is probably James, Jesus' brother. When we go to Acts chapter 15, we see this discussion of what to do with the Gentiles. There is a man by the name of James who is there, and when he speaks up, they listen. James appears to be a leader in the church. And in fact, Paul calls him such. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul recounts a story, and in that he says, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. So this same James who is at Jerusalem was a pillar in the church. Well, who is this James? Well, it's not James, the brother of John. It could be James, the son of Alphaeus, but more likely it's James, Jesus' brother. And the reason we say that is Galatians chapter 1, and verse 18 through 15. So let's look at this. Paul here is talking about what happens to him after his conversion. And this is what it says in verses 18 and 19. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. James, the Lord's brother, was in Jerusalem. And so it makes sense that this is the same James who is a pillar of the church at Jerusalem. So now we start putting all these pieces together, and then we get to the last piece, and that is that Jesus' brothers very well may be two of the authors of the Bible. We don't know this, but it's possible. In James chapter 1, the author identifies himself as this: James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, the author never identifies himself beyond just saying his name is James. This is unlikely to be James, the brother of John, just based on the time frame in which this book was written. That man would have died. Most people believe this to be James, the brother of Jesus, and I seem to think that that makes a lot of sense, since he would have been a leader at the church in Jerusalem. The other book that very well may have been written by one of Jesus' brothers is the book of Jude. We know that Jesus had a brother named Judas. We know that there was also another apostle named Judas who betrayed Jesus. So it would make sense that if your name was Judas, you would not go by your name, lest you be confused with Judas, the betrayer. And there's probably some stigma in the church related to that name. So the man goes by Jude. So in Jude, verse 1, we find Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Well, so who is this? Well, Jude is a shortened version of Judas. There's multiple Judases in the New Testament. Judas Iscariot. There's an apostle named Judas. He also goes by the name of Thaddeus. We learn in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, that this man, this Jude, Thaddeus, that this man is the son of James. There's Judas, the brother of Jesus. There's Judas of Galilee, who in Acts chapter 5 led an uprising in Israel and died. There's Judas of Damascus, of whom Paul stayed in his home after he was blinded in Acts chapter 9. And then there's Judas, a Christian in Jerusalem, whose name was also Barsabbas. Since the author identifies himself as Jude, the brother of James, some will assume this to be the brother of Jesus, since Jesus also had a brother named James. Beyond that, it's somewhat speculation. I don't know what we're to make of this. I just know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. His brothers and sisters did not believe in him, but by the time Acts chapter 1 comes around, it appears as though that his brothers did become followers of him. One last thing. History suggests that the children of Jesus' brothers remained faithful and were pillars in the church as well. There was a man by the name of Eusebius. He was a Greek historian. He wrote he lived between 260 and 340 AD. And he quoted a man, the writings of another man named Hegesibius, maybe. And he was a Jewish historian who wrote between 110 and 180. Now, his writings are completely lost, except for the quotations that Eusebius gives us. But in his Eusebius recounting of this other Jewish historian's account, he describes that the children of Jude, children of Judas, Jesus' brothers, are brought before Domitian, who is Caesar. They were questioned, and they were beaten, and then they were sent away. And when they come back, they become pillars in the church. Now, take that for what it's worth. It's a historian's account, but it is at least somewhat makes sense with what we see in the rest of the Bible. So that's what we know about Jesus' siblings. That was the lesson this morning. I don't know that it lends itself very well to an invitation, except to say this. In Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, we find that the children of Israel had been using a proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. This idea that the fathers do something and the children will be punished for it. The whole rest of that chapter goes on to say that, no, that's not how God works. The wickedness and righteousness of one individual is that person's wickedness or righteousness. It's not going to be passed on to their children, to their grandchildren, to their brothers or sisters. And so whether or not Jesus' siblings made their way to heaven would be on their own merit. They didn't catch Jesus' coattails. Jesus, I'm sure, was concerned for them. And the same is true for us. Each one of us will have to work out our own salvation. Just because our parents or our brothers or sisters are righteous does not mean that God is going to look at us any differently than He does anyone else. He's going to look at us on our own merits. So consider where you stand with God. If you're not sure of your salvation, do something about it, whether it's primary obedience through baptism or whether you've fallen away and need to make repentance of your sins. You have that opportunity as we stand and sing. 336.